Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mike, his arch nemesis is actually Arch Campbell. That's how he got his name.
You're going down.
All right. Let's be honest. To the dogs, he's an interloper. He came later.
Probably. Yeah, he came later than the dogs.
Right.
He's from away.
Yeah. He's from away.
He's from away.
That boy is from away. Kid. Yeah.
So thank you to Carla. And you know, it wouldn't have been, I think, a big ask for at least Rob to text something.
Yeah, I did send something to you in an email last week. I said that I was sorry. I did.
Here's the copy. Sorry about your loss.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, everybody. It's Super Bowl week.
Woo! 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 Uh-oh, wait a minute. Hey, Oscar, I got to ask, who won?
Oh, come on.
The staring contest.
Come on.
No, you were just having a staring contest with Santos.
Well, that's completely off camera.
Yeah, but I was watching. It was exciting.
Yeah, but Mike has no idea about that. Why would you throw a grenade in the beginning of the show?
It's not a grenade.
What grenade is he throwing in?
You know, we have a glass door to the studio, and Santos, the pod dog, is seated at the glass door staring in.
This gives me a perspective on the listener, because you say these things as though I understand them. I have no earthly idea. And this is a little window into how we communicate with our audience, too. You say these things as though everyone should know what the f*** you're talking about. And I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, you know how Santos is of it. No, I look at a screen with your mug and his mug 5 days a week, six shows a week. In your case, seven shows a week. So if you're going to paint the picture,
For everybody.
Throw the grenade.
All right. Yeah. So we have a glass door to our studio, which is, you know, of course, you can see right through it.
Yeah, and on the other side, we're the only people that can see.
Right.
It's our vantage point.
Exactly. Yes. On the other side of the glass was Oscar's dog, Santos, who we've talked about.
Is Oscar's dog, Santos, in the in Podcast Village every day?
Yes, every day.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pod dog.
He is the pod dog.
That's kind of cool for you. I mean, that's kind of cool to have like a mascot, have your dog become the mascot of the location where you at. Does it help with his behavior at all? Or is he's got to be chill if you have him there every day. Is he a relatively chill dog?
He is. Some people said that we've purchased a Westworld dog, like a robot dog.
That's so cool, because that'll just make him a better dog if he's around people.
He doesn't. Like, really, for what it's worth, he's been with us in the studio setting since he was a kid.
Puppy, yeah.
So, like, as far as barking is concerned, it's minimal.
Almost none.
You know what?
Almost
and none. I think I speak for the listening audience, where I wouldn't mind, since we're talking about the dog, what a great Monday to bring bring Santos in. Is there a way we could bring Santos in and see him?
If you don't mind, Maddie, can you go grab Shannon and have her bring in the dog?
I'd love to see the dog.
The incidents of him misbehaving, of Santos misbehaving, are actually far fewer than Rob Ford misbehaving. You know, Rob Ford, pod boy.
And with Rob Ford, of course, more accidents.
Yes, well, only when we forget to walk him.
We always know that. If you don't take him outside first thing in the morning, it's not his fault.
And you can always tell when he's had an accident because he won't make eye contact with you.
It's not his fault at all.
No, we don't yell at him. Yeah. Push his nose.
He's going to have to loosen my gate a little bit to let Shannon in.
Of course.
She's coming in with the dog.
She's carrying the dog.
She's picked up the dog.
Is the dog full grown yet?
Or he is full grown. He's full grown.
And I would say probably, 55 pounds?
No. He's 35, 37.
There's a lot of hair then.
There you go. Right on camera.
Look at that doggy.
Hello.
Look at him. He's big. He's a big boy. He's totally chill. Look at him. He's totally chill.
He's a great dog.
It's not a big deal for him. It's been a while, you know, since we've really focused on him. So I wanted to look at it. So there's the mascot, Santos the pod dog. What a cute little guy.
Hi, buddy. Look How at are you? That. You good? You good? Oh, you're the best. All right, all right.
Kisses. Yeah. Kisses.
Good dog.
Oh, that's
good
dog. Look at God. Shannon's strong to hold it. Oh, my God. He's huge.
Heavy.
Wow. Okay. You can get out of here. Thank you. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you. I just wanted to see the dog.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Very nice to see you, too.
Carried in, put on a podcast, and Santos yawns. Just yeah. In her arms, just yawns.
That's cool. Yeah. No, not hyper at all. No, not good. Hyper. There he is.
Good There's boy.
Not tail between the legs, just totally into people. That's cool.
Yeah, I like
him. I like that. I like that. So what were you saying at the beginning of the show about stare
he
down?
He was staring in the studio at Oscar, and I think it began because you had a bagel.
Yes. I spoil the dog more than anyone even within Podcast Village. Like, as an owner, I probably shouldn't do this, but he's my fry guy. Ever since he was a puppy, we would go through the drive-thru and be like, one fry for me, one fry for you. So
Beluga loved French fries. That was Beluga's favorite food.
Yeah, yeah. So the vet didn't take too nicely to it because of the weight gain, so I stopped feeding him French fries.
Oh, I thought the vet was talking about you.
But once in a while, she probably was like, hey, how are you doing? How you doing? You don't look so great yourself, sir. You look like that skeleton's meant for a thinner body. So what I will do once in a while, probably not great to do, is I will share something bland with him, like a piece of bread or a piece of bagel.
Sure.
So he's looking at me lovingly, but he's also looking at the bagel like any other dog would.
But then when the bagel was gone, Oscar continued a very, very definitive stare down with the dog.
Yeah.
There are times that I can tolerate it. There are most times I hate it, and I hate the dog food stare.
Yeah.
The dog food stare, which is kind of like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Although I did give Frankie the breakfast plate today, where there was egg yolk.
But that's a long-standing history, right?
Yeah. And, getting used to it. Thank you to, by the way, let me just throw in, thank you to everybody who sent nice wishes out to my wife and fam this weekend. It was, Carla, it was a slower burn, because you just get used to having your dog. She's so close to the dog. It was, it was different. And then it's true, if you wonder about this, you can tell dogs know that the other dog is gone, and the behavior patterns were hard to describe. They were weird behavior patterns that we had with Frankie. We were going out. I'm trying to think where we... Yeah, we were going out without a babysitter, so it was just Frankie and Carla, myself, and the little guy were going out, and Frankie, his ears were all the way back, like, you're leaving me? And he's never done that before. Yeah, it was just kind
ears.
Of a weird,
Those are serious ears.
Weird little, but people can be really, really super nice. And that was, that's very cool.
So tough weekend. You lost a family member.
I do appreciate it. I mean, for me, it wasn't nearly what Carla went through. So, salute to everybody in TMOS land. Why are you laughing?
Why'd you have to say that? Why'd you have to qualify that?
Because I think it would be disingenuous. I think it would be disingenuous for me to play the sympathy card for a dog that was Carla's dog.
Like, you're A-okay. You're like, eh.
To be honest with you, the day of the event, the day we did it, I was not okay.
Okay.
Leading up to it and during that day, it was horrible.
Tough, yeah.
It wasn't fun. There was nothing.
And it's got to be weird.
But you miss them.
Yeah, and the routine has changed. I mean, you are, your life is dedicated to routines. And the routine is different now.
He is such an operator.
I'm trying to help you here.
No, but don't. I can help myself. What I don't want to be is, I don't want to be phony.
You can just be you.
Me is this. The day it happened, and because Carla's bummed out, it's sad for me. As far as the, this is me taking a step out of my own body and analyzing my own behavior. After the fact, I'm not really affected by it. I am not really affected. I'm not. I would be lying if I told you that. I would be lying because it was a one-person dog. Do I feel for the moments where you think about him and you say, yes, I have moments of sadness. But to sit here after what I've done for 10 years on this program and to come in and go, oh, poor. No, what I'm talking about is the messages going out to the family. Those are really for my wife, not even for my son. My son moves on with his little world. I move on with my little world.
It's probably
world.
Best That's for little it. Michael not to That's be it. Even cognizant of what happened.
If you yeah, he was back. Cool. He moved on. We were honest with him, and he moved on. He knows that Beluga's, that walk over the rainbow thing that a lot of people send out. That's what it is.
If you were to go back a year when the dogs were in better health, did he have a dog of the two that he preferred?
Not really at all. Not a lot of interaction. They're not interacting with kids' dogs.
They're not kid dogs.
You know, it's not like Hollywood where it's just like, Lassie! You know, that's
also,
not that's not the way it works.
Let's be honest. To the dogs, he's an interloper. He came later.
Probably. Yeah, he came later than the dogs.
Right.
He's from away.
Yeah. He's from away. That boy is from away. Yeah.
Who was pooping. You know, they smelled him a lot when he was an infant. Yeah. You know? They sniffed at him. But here's the one thing I can tell you. This is the most important thing that we realized after the fact. Our babysitter Carmen, who's a family member, basically sent pictures of Beluga, and we realized just how long Beluga had been out of it, and we didn't realize it because you live it, so you don't pay attention.
Well, it dates
Beluga
back to Manassas.
Out of it for so long, and not there, and so that helped a little bit too. And other than that, you know, life goes on. And as far as, you know, getting on the road and hitting the road, you know, now it's just a tiny little suitcase. You know, it's a little carry-on, and you know, as opposed to the dog and pony show,
so to
pardon
speak,
the pun, that we went through before. So if I sound off, we're talking about
what if we had Santos and Matt Bloom do a podcast and call it the Dog and Pony Show?
Well, it would be mute on one side and almost mute on the other.
Yes. Dog and Pony Show. So, yeah, but people are nice. People are really, really nice and reach out. And I thought that was extremely cool. And
thank you, Oscar,
for reaching out to the family.
As I mentioned.
And to Pony and Rob. There you go. But anyway, Carla wanted me to mention it. I'm sorry. She really did.
All right. Let her know that my dork status remains, I suppose.
Okay, well, in fairness to the guys, they I don't think they've had a loss that they're really, you know, as far as pets are concerned.
Rob?
No, Rob and his
Rob's dealt with probably more loss than anybody.
Yeah, but I'm talking about his dog.
Mine was
20
years
ago.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Yeah, and Pony knocks off a sugar glider every quarter. So,
well, they're disposable. They have an expiration date on
for
them.
For him,
with all the marriages that I've been through and all the dogs that I've had in my life, I'd never been through that process because I've never been in the room. I've never done it. I've always had dogs go to a farm. I've always had dogs go with the ex. I've always had I never was a dog keeper. I wouldn't keep the dog. That's not how, you know, when it was time to end, it was time to end. Yeah, it was a clean slate. You know, it was just like, yeah, let's go on
so,
with the show.
I have.
Ever
and
forward.
I reached out with a text saying, look, all shtick aside, and I mean this, thank you to you, Carla, I hope you're listening to this, for sharing Beluga with us. Like, how many hours of entertainment and fun did we have?
It was all real.
Like, mostly at Beluga's expense, but
yes,
really,
it was at Beluga's expense. I've never seen a dog that was never seen an owner that was more into taking care of a dog. I've seen owners that love their dog just as much. I'm sure that's true. I've never seen a more meticulous, like, kind of gross, the grooming, you know, where she'd like pick his eyes and stuff like that. You know, just
most dog owners have to do that.
Dad never got his hands dirty.
But,
you know, I'm not going to dig into the snot factory of the pug.
Felt like,
look what I got out of his ear.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she'd go deep.
Family member. So thank you to Carla. And you know, wouldn't have been, I think, a big ask for at least Rob to text something.
Yeah, I did send something to you in an email last week. I said that I was sorry. I did.
Here's the copy. Sorry about your loss.
But I did feel for you. I'm not sure that you would have appreciated if I'd said anything or not. Obviously, if I said something and you didn't remember it, it didn't really ring all that true.
What do you mean? Now you're blaming it on me?
No, I'm saying that I did say something. I did feel for you. I'm very sorry for your loss. As a matter of fact, you put me in sort of to a tailspin because I went on a mental journey thinking about ultimately when we're going to have to lose Linus, and it really, really bummed me out.
How old is Linus?
Linus is going to be 6 in December, I think.
Oh, you have plenty of time.
I know, but still, ultimately, it's going to be really sad. Very sad.
But I've never been through it, and it's one of life's experiences, and the behavior of the Chihuahua. Yeah, I think that it's ticked up a notch now with Frankie and me, where you know, I'm going out of my way to greet him a little bit more when I come in.
But he's also her dog, right?
Yeah, probably, but not nearly like Beluga. Frankie will come up to my chair and look at me and jump up on my lap.
Okay.
That's, So that's never, you know, and even when Beluga was a puppy, that wouldn't happen. Beluga didn't want to have anything to do with me. It's the truth. Mm. And Frankie is, you know, is the dog that will come in and he'll want me to throw the little stuffed toy for him. Mm. And he'll jump up. And then in the evening when we have Frankie now up on the bed, he'll come over and I'll just go, all I do is I go like that. And he comes and he lays across my chest. Aww. So that,
well,
Frankie
good.
And I have a much
that's
different nice. Relationship. Mm. But Frankie from puppyhood, maybe because of this incredible baritone, is terrified of me on a certain level. But he's terrified of everybody on a
well,
certain level.
Well, he's a shaky dog.
Does
yeah.
he still
he's
live, a shaky dog. Sleep under the sheets, Frankie?
You know, that's a fascinating question because that's where he would do. That would be his routine on Carla's side of the bed when it's bedtime. And that. Carla would lift up the, mm-hmm. the second sheet, like where the blanket and the bed sheet are,
yeah.
and he'd go in between there, and that's where he'd hang out all night. Lately, right on top, nestled up to Carla, that's where he Aww. Hangs out. That's one of the things where you can actually tell what's happening. And,
yeah.
Well, he's probably
and
worried.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous when I look at that because that's a position I haven't had for 15 years. Thank you. You can start the show. Thank you. Baby.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Mr. President, do we have to listen to any more of this?
Point of parliamentary procedure.
Don't screw around. They're serious this time.
Take it easy. I'm in pre-law, man.
Thought you're pre-med.
What's the difference? Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be brief. The issue here is not whether we broke a few rules or
took
a few liberties with our female party guests.
We did.
But you can't hold a whole fraternity responsible for the behavior of a few sick, perverted individuals. For if you do, then shouldn't we blame the whole fraternity system? And if the whole fraternity system is guilty, then isn't this an indictment of our educational institutions in general? I put it to you, Greg, isn't this an indictment of our entire American society? Well, you can do what you want to us, but we're not going to sit here and listen to you badmouth the United States of America. Gentlemen!
You're finished here. Warmer's mad now.
You're not walking out on this one, mister.
There he is.
You're finished. No more Delta. You bought it this time, Buster.
Oh, nostalgia.
I'm calling your national office. I'm going to revoke your charter.
It's Mr. Thoughtful with a dozen roses for you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios, where Santos, the pod dog, prowls the hallways from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., where the government is reopened.
Yay!
This is the Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends. If you're brand new, sit back, chill out, get ready to have some fun. If you are one of our regular, loyal listeners, my God, are we appreciative. We love you and continue to spread the word every day about TMOS. From Sparks, Maryland to Greenberg, Indiana, from West Allis, Wisconsin to Cool, California.
Yeah.
Is that a real town, do you
it
think?
It is, yeah. Cool, baby.
Did you double check it? Did
no,
you make
but
sure?
I trust the listener.
Cool, California. Oh, there's a mistake. From Point Pleasant, New Jersey to Adelaide, South Australia, the Mike O'Mara Show is on now. I'm brought to you today by a brand new sponsor, Brandless. Oh, man, I love my Brandless stuff. I just got it last week. Why battle crowds at the big box stores only to pay a premium price for disappointing quality? This is a very, very cool company. Brandless, it's called. They cut out the middleman to deliver just what matters, all at simple, fair prices. Brandless offers better options for the things you care about. They sell everything. And the website is a thing of beauty for browsing. Brandless offers better-for-you items at better prices shipped directly to you. What did I get? I'll tell you what I got. I got an incredible set of knives.
Knives.
Are you familiar with knives?
Sure. You need them in the kitchen.
The knives are amazing. It's just so different. It's so simple. I got coffee mugs, plain black and white coffee mugs. That there's just a level of quality where when you get your brandless stuff, it comes to your house and you open it up and you go, oh, they did. They took out all the crap.
Yep.
They took out all the middleman branding kind of stuff that just is added show that doesn't mean anything. That they're really, really good items. And you get higher the quality products because they're more affordable prices. Brandless gives back. Every time you check out at Brandless, they donate a meal to someone facing hunger. They provide millions of meals a year through their partnership with Feeding America. That, by the way, is the nation's largest domestic hunger relief organization. Right now, our listeners can receive $10 off their first order of $50 or more. What did you get at Brandless, Rob
Stulak? I am a pen snob. I am very particular about writing. I bought 3 dozen pens from Brandless. Ooh. They are fantastic. That's all I use now.
They do take out all the branding stuff, and that's what makes the products better. By the way, you get $10 off your first order of $50 or more and free shipping at Brandless. Go to brandless.com. Use that code TMOS to start saving on high-quality products. Don't wait a second longer. Go to brandless.com and enter TMOS to get $10 off your first orders of $50 or more and free shipping. Start enjoying the high-quality products you deserve today at Brandless.
Now, love it.
I love Brandless, and we had one of our little meetings where there are other shows on the line with Brandless. Remember that? And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I one of the things I heard was, I've been with you for a while. And that always makes me jealous when I hear another show that's been associated with them a long time. I want to stop the meeting, and I want to say to our advertising people, I want to say at the same time, say, well, by the way, Mr. Been There a While, I'm here now, and I got my product, and I'm over the moon for it. So what do you think of that, dink? I'm so competitive. I'm so hyper competitive. Here's a peek behind the curtain. When we have meetings with clients, with new clients, and it's multiple shows that are on the line, the veterans that have been there a while don't like to bog down, ourselves included, don't like to bog down the meetings with unnecessary, superfluous questions. So these meetings will be, so is there anything else? And you'll hear nothing, not even a, I'm all set.
Right.
And, you know, occasionally there'll be, we're okay. You guys will say it. I'll say it. But very rarely. Usually it's just crickets, and that's the way it is. But I have to tell you that when you put me on one of these calls, the inner kid that wants to please wants to. And by the way, he's worse than I am. Because if he would be every single time, I like it. Yes, I do. Well, what do you think? Any question? I want to tell you. Like, have I not had to? You know, we've had discussions about that.
I feel I've
gotten
better.
Because you would be talking. You would be the. You would be. You what?
I feel I've gotten better.
You've gotten much better.
Yeah.
But
we
you used
have.
To like
we
to.
All have.
You would answer because you hate silence.
I do.
So
hate
you would
silence.
Answer to do that. But I am disciplining myself because if I have the time, and I'm there on a conference call with an advertiser. I want to be the teacher's pet.
This
I want to be the teacher's
what
pet.
Could be, possibly be. If it's a clear brand, it's not complicated. It could be a 10-minute call. Too many questions could turn into a 30-minute call at any moment.
Easily, drop of a hat.
We have had different experiences.
Yes.
We've had exchanges with other air personalities. Like Man Cow and Bubba the Love Sponge.
They are,
you know?
Shows within shows.
Yeah. They're sometimes the Bubba the Love Sponge one was
that
particularly
was funny. That was
when
funny.
Todd noticed me.
Yeah. I remember yes,
hi
was,
Mike.
Yeah,
he knew
it was,
I trashed him.
There was one of those dead silences as those calls sometimes have. After
come on
we all
up to Tampa and be on my show. Yeah, that's right.
Tamper.
Okay.
Hey Mike.
I'll put my right foot in a bear trap. I'll do that too. That's what I'll do.
Tamper.
It's what I want to do at my advanced age is go up there and deal with that. But it's interesting. The worst one I'll ever remember where I had to speak up was, were you guys both on? I think you were you both on the one where the guy was breathing?
Yes.
Yes.
And there was obviously a fat guy.
100%.
Is someone's phone off mute?
That's right.
Yeah. Let me see if I.
Hello. All right. And so it's like, do we have everybody here? Is everybody on the call? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here from Becky and the Bean Bean. Yes, and
okay. So can we get the cat? Let's hit.
Yeah, do we? Who's here now? This is Zip from the Zim Zim Sports Show. Who's there?
Hi, it's Rob from the Mike O'Mara. Hi, it's Oscar from the Mike O'Mara. Hi, it's Mike from the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yep, that's right. Three of us absolutely only need one, but we're all three here because we want to show you we care because we're desperate for your money. Who's here now? Hello? This is Pete from the Pete Show.
Okay, we're going to get started right now. Okay, this is a really wonderful product.
Have you all received a copy?
I get on and I finally said, is there, I forgot what I said, but I made a reference to, has someone just run a marathon?
I believe that's exactly what it was.
Exactly what you said.
Because the guy's going, and then they don't say anything. No, nobody says anything. And then
but everybody else on the line is like fist pumping on mute. Right. They're like, yeah, somebody said something.
The best would be the junior producer for a sports talk show.
Yes.
Which always sounds something like this.
Yeah, this is Kurt from the Fan and Just Sports Guys.
Yeah, but they always have some ludicrous excuse for the sports guy not being on the call.
Yeah, Flipper's getting a colonoscopy today, so he can't be here.
Yes!
Flipper can't be
and
here.
And it's so
today.
Over the top, you're like, you dumb F.
Yeah, but
that
I'm so
is
glad.
Such a big lie.
I am so glad that they're advertising on Flipper and the cleat.
Flipper and the cleat. They got one down here. I forgot what it is. I'm going to make a mental note of it, but they got the morning show down here. This is the market that has Stan and Haney. And their entire show is done at this pace because they realize that if they speak slowly,
their audience,
they can fill more time.
Also, their cum goes up.
Yeah, because they're waiting for them to say what they're going to say.
And the people listening are at that pace.
Yeah.
But the guy, they got a new morning show, and it's something the freak. It's I think it's like Fred the Freak or something like that. It's just classic. Nothing has changed as far
as
that
is wacky?
Concerned. I haven't heard the show.
You must tune in because I would love to know if he's wacky.
It's the morning show?
I think it's the morning show. And it is, because these guys have been on the afternoon for a while. They were on back when Don and I were trying to crack I wanted to get on this market. I wanted to get on that radio station. But we found out they've been here for 38 years in the afternoon. And they're not going anywhere. But anyway, it was, and they're not. And you know what? And there's a part of that I really respect. That I think that's cool to stay in your market and be there for a long, long time. And by the way, over the holidays, when my mother-in-law was visiting, and a television commercial came over with my friend Mark, who does a radio program down here, and he does a sports talk show, and they buy 10-second hits on all the sporting events. And her comment was, "Wow, he must be a pretty big deal." And it was directed at me.
Sure.
It's a traditional mother-in-law thing.
It must feel
it's
good.
A traditional thing. I said, well, no, if you really added up what that involves in this particular market.
Yeah, the guys working like 20 hours a week.
But no, it was interesting that was a flashback back to my first wife, who her mother was sitting in a trailer. Because they followed her everywhere in an RV, and we were watching Miss America, and Burt Parks came on, and her mother said, "Mike, look at him; he's got a good job." It's continued the great tradition.
He must be a big deal in market 78.
A big deal. So it was. It's interesting. But that's
any
just
ads for Fred the Freak?
No, I haven't seen any of that, but there's a billboard, and you know how much I love billboards.
Yes, of course.
I love billboards. I fantasize about what if we got that cash infusion,
an endowment
from an endowment from a big pocketbook,
the Trump
on the
group.
Mike O'Mara show, that we would I would spend it on how we would advertise. And I've always loved. Let me explain that what I believe in my limited amount of knowledge is the successful formula down here. You've got a guy like Billy Fasillo who can come down and with his pocketbook, what he gets in this market compared to other markets for advertising is astonishing.
Yeah.
It's astonishing what he gets down here. And so, you know, you don't get that in New York or L.A. or Chicago or Washington, D.C. So he can come down here and he can do it.
It's easy to be a bigger fish, I imagine.
Smaller pond. Yeah, right? So, yeah.
But I always say to myself, you know, in order for our business model to work, we would have to have a national ad campaign, and we will never be able to afford that. That will never happen.
Powerball.
You know, if we hit the Mega Millions, then we could. You know what? If we hit the Mega Millions, we would probably modify the schedule. Be aware of it. I'm not going to lie.
Why would we do that? It's great now.
It's not great.
It's wonderful.
It's not.
By modify the schedule, he means just we'd record later in the day.
Oh, okay.
Sure. So what I'm saying is
how much less can we put out?
What do you mean, how much less can we put out?
I'm sorry, Mike, please continue.
We could be like Big O and Dukes.
Yeah, but we're not a five-day-a-week show.
Yeah, but I'm saying you're working me, and now you're making me angry.
Why are you
I do a show because we do a show Monday through Friday.
Yeah,
and a bonus.
Why would we?
And a bonus show and a political show. I do seven shows a week.
Okay, look, if I get it, if one had to go, you know, let's be honest.
What I'm saying is, I was trying to get back to the point of doing a national rollout of advertising,
Do you know why I brought up the lottery? Do you know why I brought that up? It's because I watched 60 Minutes yesterday. Yes, I watched 60 Minutes.
Did you see it too? Did you understand it? Even with your MBA,
yes!
Did you understand
it? It's Simple Simon math. It's awesome.
It was not Simple Simon. I have no ability in math.
So
he was explaining it, and I went, no, I don't understand. They rolled back the jackpot.
Can you explain to Rob this couple first?
Can you explain the math?
Yes.
Did you watch 60 Minutes?
Actually, last night I chose, instead of watching 60 Minutes, I watched CBS Sunday Morning that from the morning. So I was on CBS, different news show.
All right. So the 60 Minutes had a lottery guy that played a game with his wife, a retiree, an old man, that discovered, because he was a math major and he was a math whiz, discovered that if they didn't get a jackpot winner, they would roll back
this one game.
They would roll back this one game, and they would drop the jackpot into the second, third, and fourth numbers. And the algorithm that he found was he could make the odds be in his favor by betting a certain amount of numbers based on the limited amount of winners that they would get.
So
it was like a three number payout.
He was betting on the fact that no one would actually win.
He would only bet when they would roll back the number. Then he would buy. Then for the following week, he would buy a ton of numbers because he could beat the odds based on the percentage of numbers that hit.
You should pull the audio just so we can discuss it.
All right.
But in the long run, what you need to know is this, is that he initially tested out with a couple $1,000s. By the time he was rolling and had like a syndicate of colleagues and friends and family giving him dollars,
which he didn't need to do. He could have done it all for himself.
But he
was extremely.
Yes.
That's what made it such a great. And it was organic. It was a real story. He shared his knowledge with people in his town, not because he had to, but because he was just that kind of guy. He was a decent human being that figured out a mathematical way to beat this lottery game, and he won millions.
Wow.
So they finally shut this game down in town, and they realize, oh man. And then one of his guys
in Michigan, one of his guys discovers the same game in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're moving to Massachusetts.
No, they would drive to Massachusetts and buy the tickets.
That's great.
They drive to Massachusetts and buy tens of thousands of tickets. And the odds were, I mean, they had to bet an assload of money
to make an assload of money.
But when they bet the assload of money, it was a fail-safe thing. They made money
$8 million all said.
Wow.
Yes. $8 million that he netted on this.
Netted.
Wow. So
$26 million in total winnings.
Wow. And so he did it in two states.
They bet a ton. Yeah. But they ended up rolling
board.
It back.
All
nothing illegal
board.
About it.
Yeah, nothing illegal about it. It's like that guy that memorized the pattern on Press Your Luck. There was nothing illegal about what he did.
They
had to shut him
down.
Do you
want to know who? So you're like, everybody's got to know about this. And he thought the same thing within the interview.
Yeah,
he thought there had to be somebody.
Like,
somebody's got to figure it out.
So there was one other group that figured it out. And that was a group from MIT. Mathematicians from MIT.
Wow.
That did the same thing, pooled it, and they won a lot of money too. But Isn't that astonishing? That when
such
you think,
a great story.
What was this guy? What was this guy? What business was he in? What did he do for?
I have no idea what he was. Retired.
He owned a grocery store, a little grocery.
Yeah, he was like in middle America, in a tiny little Michigan farm community or Illinois farm community. Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure where he was, and he
like
was
a
just
corner
a
market. Him and his
normal,
wife owned it.
Guy.
Wow.
And he and they live a simple life. They stayed in their simple life. They remodeled their house and set up education for their children and grandchildren, which were many. And it was just a wonder. One of the best stories.
Oh, made me so happy.
That I've it just was a delightful story, a delightful human being. Because you think in terms of, you know, sleaze factor.
Sure.
And, you know, and it was a nice counterbalance to that nad from Starbucks that wants to run for president.
You didn't like
it
Howard
was like
Schultz?
It was like a guy. It was like this wonderful man who figured out and gave, and then there was Richie Richardson. Bite me in the.
I thought
bum.
He made some compelling arguments. No,
but I'm tired of the Richie.
I love
Richardson.
His coffee.
Yes, but isn't he just you know, just like look at me, I'm Richie
easy
Richardson.
To run
you know?
For president when your ship has come in.
Yes.
Well, it's exactly. easy to grin.
And you know what? Do you think the rest of the country felt that way? that you know, I was looking at him going, you know, and I hope all Republicans, he's an independent, so I hope all right. Democrats and Republicans were looking at him and just going, oh, okay, all right, congratulations.
Are you bored?
He talks about,
like,
and he goes back
there?
In his skinniness. He goes back to the original Starbucks in Seattle where he bought the espresso machine.
As a man who's not on Howard Schultz, but done enough work, I would say school work on Starbucks, it is fascinating how not just he, but overall, he hired the right people from different industries. For example, his COO, Chief Operations Officer, at that point when Starbucks was struggling, he brought him in from a completely different type of company, which the guy worked in like paints. He worked for DuPont. Operations wise, like how does it work? How do you get the right paint to the right place, the right hardware stores in America?
Mm-hmm.
And that guy, he hired top of his game to come to Starbucks and really break down how do we make sure every Starbucks has it water and where it's being sourced. Like really took one industry and said, this guy can do this, he can do this. And now that gentleman is working at a completely different, it's just, you hire the right people for the right job, which is fascinating.
This is my stupid take on that, on all these guys, okay? I would love to see, with a guy with his amount of money, how much money he has made, that if you took a suitcase every day, and you picked a certain person every day, and you got in your limo, and you just knocked on a door, did a little research, you know, this person's got a terrible illness that they're dealing with. It's wiped them out. And every day you just go and do that as opposed to being, I want to do it. It's self-aggrandizement to a certain
Fair.
Degree.
Yeah.
There is a level of ambition that's involved with running for president that people that have done have made a career in politics prior to that know that. But at least they've been doing it forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just rubs me the wrong way. And I always like to think these guys that want to give and give and give. And a guy like Bill Gates has his philanthropy and Warren Buffett's philanthropy cannot be questioned, the rich guys. But I also wonder when you've got a guy like the Starbucks guy who wants to
his name
run
is Schultz?
For president.
Howard Schultz.
You say to yourself, well, what if he, as opposed to running for president, what if he set up an account, you know, and one of his hedge funds, and he decided that he'd just dole out the money to people that need it? I don't know.
Or
just,
fledgling podcast.
I didn't find him compelling. Did you find him compelling as a candidate? I certainly didn't. I didn't like. Yeah, podcast.
I'll be honest with you. I am scared of a three-party system, but it seems like for the majority of time that I've been even interested in politics, that when that happens,
the truth. That time that interest in politics has been the majority of the time was when you started working with me.
I've had to. Very true.
You have had no choice.
For the almost decade since I've started working with Mike O'Mara.
Thank you. That helps my ego.
Every time I hear about a third party, I think of the UK where they have 20 parties.
Right.
Yes. Or I think of Latin America where they have 30 parties, 50 parties.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And all that does is chop down, in my eyes, your overall power of your two-party system. So who loses in a centralist party independent, I think that at this point, the Democrats would lose more than the Republicans Because
well, if nothing, if we've learned nothing over the past 5 years, is that the two-party system is great and compromise is where it's at. So don't
well, that's
you think
what Howard Schultz is saying. He said, it's broken. I'm coming in to fix it.
I mean, more parties would mean that there would be more likely more alliances, I would think. Well, and it wouldn't be a you and me type thing.
See, you and I, we're Schultz guys.
Yeah, okay, okay.
We're Schultz guys.
Coffee, big coffee.
Coffee. Since we're on the subject, did we mention it? Was it on the bonus show or was it on the regular show where I talked about the guy wearing the hat? Was it on the bonus show? Do you remember? Was it on the bonus show or the regular show?
Had it been bonus show.
Bonus show, we talked about a buddy of mine who wore a Make America Great Again hat and did it as a joke for me. I mean, he's a true believer, but he wore the hat and I didn't notice it and they were just giving me a hard time. So I'm talking about the counter. And he said, you can wear your Nancy Pelosi hat. Well, no, I'm getting a hat that I'm going to wear. It's going to be much more fun to wear this. And it's a Kamala hat. For Kamala Harris
The
Jamaican colors. And I am so looking forward to the day that arrives where I take that out to the Cocoonville golf course and go, hey, here's my hat, guy. And I you know what? You ready for a prediction? I won't say anything to anyone until somebody notices. Mm. And I wonder if they'll even
do
notice.
You think they will?
The old men down here.
It would require,
I
you know what? It would
notice.
Require a certain amount of hipness. Not just being politically aware. They'd
being
have to have a certain amount of
kind of being aware of that particular individual who's just started her presidential campaign.
Excuse my ignorance. Is that the candidate from Hawaii?
She's the senator. She's the No, that's Tulsi Gabbard.
Okay.
She is the candidate, the senator from California, made her speech in Oakland, California, announcing her candidacy yesterday afternoon.
I saw something.
What coffee? 4 o'clock, 4:30.
What coffee business did she found? Was it Pete's Coffee?
What coffee business did she
Because I'm only going to vote for people that find coffee businesses now.
Yeah. But it's not like, you know, it's not like I saw the speech at this early hour before even vetting any of the other candidates and decided that she was the one that I love.
I don't know enough about her.
Yeah, I am so all in. It's the earliest ever in my life. Yeah.
You're calling your shot?
Calling my shot right
Damn.
Now. Right.
It's like 2 years now. Out.
And I know, and Red I Sox know. In the World Series this year, too.
Yeah, well, let's not get there. Too much. Too much info. Too much info. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with a couple of movie reviews. Rob saw one. I saw one on pay-per-view and another one on pay-per-view. And positive reviews all around, I think. We're going to see what happens when we come back.
Everybody, this is Nameberry reminding you to send in your mail for the mailbag that Rob reads on the Mike O'Mara Show. All you have to do is include it. Send it to Rob with 2 B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com, and then maybe we'll read your message on the radio podcast.
What about the address, Nameberry?
Shut up, Rob.
Still like that one. I don't know why, but I do. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I love my Ring doorbell. During the holidays, I don't know if you got a chance to see some of these viral videos.
Yeah.
I think a tremendous amount of them can be attributed to Ring, which is the doorbell that's got the camera in it and it protects millions of people everywhere. Ring helps you stay connected to your home from anywhere in the world. It connects to your phone. You can have someone come to your door. It's got a camera in there. It alerts you. And a lot of the package snatchers have been busted completely by this Ring technology. If there's a package delivery or a surprise visitor, you get an alert, so you'll be able to see here. And here's the great thing, speak to them.
Yep.
And it's true. It works. It actually works. This technology will go wide eventually, and I think this will reduce crime overall. There's an HD video two-way audio feature on all Ring devices. I also got the Ring floodlight cam, and it was so easy to install, and I was able to frighten my sister, which has nothing to do with home security. It just has to do with the fact that I literally watched her jump 3 feet in the air when I said, "What are you doing, Kathy?" And it's like, boom!
Great added feature, though. They should lean on that more.
It's the Lord, Kathy. It's the Lord. It's the Lord speaking to you. No, you can see, hear, and speak to anyone on your property from anywhere. I love it. Here's a pro tip. Get the protection plan, and all of your Ring video is saved forever. That equals peace of mind, and it can be used for what it's used for. You've seen it online. As a TMOS listener, you have access to a special offer on a Ring Starter Kit available right now. It has a video doorbell and a motion-activated floodlight cam. This starter kit has everything you need to start building a ring of security around your home. You live in an area where you're worried about this type of stuff. This is the technology to do it, and it's cost-effective as well. Just go to ring.com/TMOS. That's ring.com/TMOS, and start living safer today. And I mean it. I love Ring. We're proud to be associated with them. Okay, movie time. Lots of movies because the Oscars are coming up, and I got real excited. Kicking and screaming, but it was on pay-per-view. By the way, with pay-per-view, you can either rent or buy. I was so into making this decision that I bought, and I bought Bohemian Rhapsody.
Me too!
Me too! And watched it over the weekend.
Yes!
And it
let's compare notes.
Who's hotter? Okay. Let's see. Here's the best description. If you like Queen music, and we went to dinner with a couple of couples down here on Saturday night who were over the top about it, saying if you like the music of Queen, you have to see this movie. That was the final boot that got me to do it.
You are a Queen fan.
Even if it wasn't true, even if they took artistic license with the story, just the behind the scenes creation of the music is just, that's the stuff that I just love when they're talking about, you know, they're in the office and they're talking about creating Bohemian Rhapsody and whether it's going to get airplay and all that. The movie for Queen fans, so wonderfully detailed in some of the live performances that Freddie Mercury gave, and Rami Malek does a great job on stage. Where Rami Malek does not do a great job, I have thought that Rami Malek is in love with his mouth before this even happened. And he couldn't get by the mouth thing. Okay. If you go back, look at Rami Malek, who, let me see.
Is Mr. Robot.
If you look at Rami doing anything, I don't have tissue here. Otherwise, if you look, it's the lip sticks out. Mm-hmm. I understand Freddie Mercury had a terrible overbite. I understand. You look at that. He overdoes the overbite so ridiculously that it just was, I couldn't get by looking at his mouth. And then go back and watch Freddie Mercury perform, and you said, oh, well, Freddie Mercury must have fixed his teeth. No, it's that Rami Malek.
Caricature.
It's like the whatever prosthetics they gave him.
Right.
Or even veneers, the cover, like Hollywood veneers.
Yeah, yeah.
The size came out too large, and they're like, it'll look smaller on screen.
It's like, hello, come back. Come back. Am I wrong about?
No, you're right.
Over the top. Well, dude, you see him at award shows, and he's doing the... Anyway, he has the big fat overbite anyway, but...
They probably could have just let him go on natural.
That was pronounced on
the
on
cast
screen.
The cast was fantastic. I thought the cast was so good. I thought Mike Myers was Mike Myers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wouldn't make that mistake where you put Austin Powers
Mike
in the
Myers
middle of your movie.
Sounded like an SNL skit.
He did.
Well, that's
he
sort did. Of his, that's his level. That's
yeah,
where he
but
operates.
He's playing a record executive.
Yeah.
And you're
yeah.
like, oh, God, is this
all
a
right,
joke?
All right, baby. There
is this
we
a
go.
Joke?
It's
oh,
like, yeah,
no.
I mean, so get by. The overbite and that, and you come away.
I hear the Live Aid sequence. The Live Aid sequence was unreal.
Carla agrees with me. She just brought me tissues.
Okay, so. Oh, here we go.
Hello. Hello, darling.
Was fantastic. And look, Mike, I know that you're going to be a greater critic than I ever will simply because you view movies in a different way, especially the performances. The way I gauge a performance is if I can forget the actor. And I spent so many hours watching Mr. Robot. I'm a Mr. Robot fan that I'm always thinking of that program when it comes to the actor.
Right.
He does transform himself. I think he does.
I forgot.
But the teeth were over the top.
I forgot it was Malik. I was like, my, the way he walked. The way that he...
His movements were like Freddie. I mean, pretty
blew my mind. And for someone who didn't grow up with Queen, remember, I wasn't exposed into American pop culture until I remember my teens.
I have a memory, because I'm so much older than you. I remember I have a memory of getting the album, putting it on the record player, and hearing it for the first time.
Wow.
And hearing Gunpowder Gelatine, Dynamite with a Lesbian, just going, I have never, ever heard. I mean,
back then, you knew a Queen record when you heard it. They had such a distinctive sound.
And it's interesting if the one that the line of demarcation was for me, where I with the one record that came out where I went, ugh, was Another One Bites the Dust.
I agree.
That's the one where I went, ugh. And if there was really that turmoil in the band when that one came out, when they had all that transition, that's when I was like, this isn't a Queen song. It was a disco song.
It's a disco.
And it was just, it was, you know.
It was a smash hit, right?
Huge. It was a huge hit. Absolutely mega hit, but it was my least favorite Queen song.
I forgot that they did that
Radio
song.
Radio Gaga is my favorite Queen song. I love that. All we need is radio. Look, was it compelling? It was great. You know what Carl and I did afterwards? Because we're watching it on pay-per-view. Flipped over to YouTube on the big screen.
Smart.
And watched the entire 25 minute performance at Live Aid,
mm-hmm.
which was, Rami does as good a job as an actor can do, but then when you see the real goods, guy performing, and you see that
story.
And if it was really true that he was, you know, struggling mm-hmm. a little bit, it was just, I thought it was fun. It was,
so
it was a lot of fun.
I should say this, that there was a lot of, I guess, hullabaloo about, you know, are they going to show how much are they going to show about Freddie and his homosexuality or bisexuality at the time?
They did a lot of it.
Yeah, but it wasn't. Maybe times have changed, but for me, it was not over the top where you're like, oh my God. Like, even for guys that don't have an open mind, this isn't one of the most open and accepting shows, I think, on the radio. I watched it with my wife, and she said, well, she didn't know that she didn't know anything. She had no background on Queen. She's 8-9 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And some of the songs that were played, she didn't even know were Queens.
Oh, they're great. I mean, you don't realize the body of work.
So much fun to watch, but mm-hmm. also to see the creative process, which I think, Mike, you talked about at the beginning of this conversation.
That's my favorite
part. Magical.
Yeah. That's my favorite part when they, if it really, because, you know, it's such, I think of music in this way. Great music, to me, it comes from a place where I have no earthly idea how it develops. But when you hear it, you know it. And that was the fun part. So you give it a thumbs up too, and we both do.
I loved it.
We're late to the party, and I didn't see it in the theaters, but I still liked it. You know.
I mean, for us, I would say that the week of it hits buy or rent, and we're buying. I think we're ahead of the curve for this show. We don't get to see everything
for this
first
show. Sometimes, you know, we get to the theater. We'll come back and we'll talk about other movies because we've got a couple of them. Rob
wonderful
saw
movie.
One. Rob actually went to a movie theater.
I did.
And saw a movie, and I'll give you a review of the very kind of an obscure one not a lot of people have seen when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. The man in the mask said, you've
got to go back, you know they do. Hello, Outlaws. This is Las Vegas legend Wayne Newton, and I love you. There are a few things in life that I require. Peace, joy, and, of course, convenience. That's why I like to listen to TMOS on Spotify. No matter where I am, in my downtown apartment visiting the Guinea Hens at Casa de Shenandoah, or on stage at the Sands, I know that my favorite TMOS troublemakers are just a few taps away. So remember, every night when your tuxedo hits the floor and you want some solid, marvelous entertainment, get your cellular telephone and grab some TMOS on Spotify. Just another great way to be a part of America. I wish you love.
Thanks, Wayne. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, you know that proper hydration is one of the most important factors in not getting sick, preventing flu, preventing colds, and recovering from them if you get them? Liquid IV, Liquid IV, Liquid IV. I cannot tell you how wonderful this product is. They contain 110% of your recommended daily dose of vitamin C and B12. Liquid IV tastes amazing. I have been an advocate since the first time I wrapped my tonsils around this. It is so, so delicious. It's a healthy alternative to traditional sugary sports drinks. And unlike Pedialyte or Gatorade, it has no artificial flavors or preservatives. When mixed with 16 ounces of water, it actually helps your body absorb more of the water and nutrients you drink directly into your bloodstream. It's non-GMO, it's vegan, it's free of gluten, dairy, and soy, and it can provide the same hydration as drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. And if you have a little evening, Yeah, wake up in the morning.
Is it?
It's fantastic. Liquid IV, the fastest growing hydration brand, and you can find it everywhere, even Costco. You can find Liquid IV at all Costco's nationwide. I love Liquid IV, and I know you will too. Right now, our listeners get 20% off at liquidiv.com when you use our code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order on the Liquid IV website. Go to liquidiv.com and enter the promo code TMOS to get your savings and start getting better hydration. That's liquidiv.com, promo code TMOS. Don't wait. Get hydrated today. It's fantastic. Back to the movies. The second one I won't spend a lot of time on it. The Wife with Glenn Close. She got a Golden Globe for
Perfect.
It. If you want a story about deep, dark secrets and how they keep those secrets and what's involved in it, fantastic movie. Worth every minute, about a guy that wins the Nobel Prize for Literature. I won't give you any spoilers because it's terrific. Her performance is wonderful, and I think you're going to like this movie too. It was a great story, had a great ending, and I was all in. Now, Rob went to the actual theater this weekend.
Theater.
And you got to see the John C. Reilly movie, Stan and Ollie.
Yeah, I've been waiting for this for like a year when they first started putting pictures out of John C. Reilly as Oliver Hardy, and it worried me. Because
can you tell the listeners that
Stan and Ollie?
Just so they know, because Stan and Ollie, and when they, because people don't
you're right,
know.
You're right.
Certainly
I know
people
Ren
don't
and
remember.
Stimpy.
No, it's different. Laurel and Hardy were a comedy team that actually started in silent pictures, but got really big in the early and mid 30s. You would recognize them should you see them. Fat Guy, Skinny Guy comedy team. And it was funny because this movie opened, I think, in Los Angeles and New York at the end of last year, but it hadn't gone wide yet. So it opened wide on Friday. In preparation for this, I actually took Robert to a film thing at the Alamo where they showed four of their short subjects. Aww. And he,
poor Robert. What was that? what God. Was that?
Kid's like 16 almost. He's like, what are you doing today? You going to play basketball? No, we're going to Stan and Hardy.
Stan and Hardy, exactly.
3 days.
You have no idea how much
that's
he enjoyed
Stan
himself.
Stan and Haney down here in Florida. It's Laurel and Hardy. Hardy.
And actually, Robert had the time of his life.
Did he?
Showed his teeth laughing.
Now, the time of his life.
Yeah. To the point where he woke up the next morning and told his mom what a great time he had and how funny they were.
All right. Compared to your other oldies but goodies.
Yes.
How do you rate Laurel and Hardy shorts?
The good ones are as good as the Marx Brothers to me. And they're artful. They're artful and they're kinder and they're a little, even though there's slapstick stuff going on, there's a gentleness to their humor that I think ages it a little better than others. Like the Three Stooges are so in your face and this is what's going to happen. You're going to laugh because you get hit in the face. No, there's a little more artfulness to their work, I think.
All right.
And it worried me because I grew up loving them and it worried me when I saw that the guy from Ricky Bobby was playing Oliver Hardy. I didn't like that notion. And
John C.
Reilly, but he was paired with Steve Coogan, who you might know as Alan Partridge, who's done, you know, a lot of British comedy. He's an impressionist as well. And he has he bears a decent resemblance to Stan Laurel.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty remarkable the way he looked like him. And there's a lot of buzz about this movie.
They look exactly the same.
And don't they look like the guys?
Oh, my God, yeah.
They really do.
That was crazy.
The thing that weirded me out is that the way they were marketing it in the trailers was sort of like an explosive, unhappy breakup. And I didn't like, and I think that's just marketing because really what they did is they told a really lovely story about two guys who really cared about each other. Mm-hmm. And it opens when they're at the top of their game in the 30s and they recreate some of their stuff from the 1930s that might as well be the original stuff.
Don't spoil it, but I mean, how did you like the way they told the story?
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. It's a 4-star effort, and
is it nominated? Is it?
I don't think it's eligible this year because I think they missed the
edge.
Also,
up 283.4% as far as a wide release from what money made before. It's in week 5 of release.
Yeah,
and I think you'll be shocked. Last week, where do you think Stan and Ollie was as far as your top 10 movies, Mike?
I'm probably
box,
in the top
box
10.
Box office.
Probably 2 or 3. One
okay,
or 2.
Last week, it was at 18.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is past, I don't know, some of these movies have been out for years.
Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody made more money than Stan and Ollie, and now it's number 23. I think Rob's only, how full was the theater?
Well, I did go to the 2 o'clock showing. There was four people there.
Oh, really?
But it wasn't, really? It wasn't the evening show. I mean, it was the afternoon.
Yeah, but that's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Well, I hope word of mouth carries this, because my thought.
I'm going to go see it.
You got to go fast, Mike.
And I know.
The theaters in the end of the week.
It's on demand now.
That's a shame.
I'm normally thrown off by the heavy prosthetic makeup, but I really do think they got it right on this one. You forget about it. And just a lovely capture and a great story. And I learned stuff I didn't know. So if you like comedy, there's, you know what, in addition to a lovely story, a lot of really great laughs.
In fairness to the movie, look, I'll give you some comparison. People, Glass is in almost 4,000 theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Stan and Ollie is only in 725 theaters. So, you know, take that from what you will.
I think it might also build. I think the word of mouth
Glass,
is going to be
good. By the way, which was the number one movie of the weekend.
Do you remember Unbreakable? The movie with Morgan Freeman. The movie with Morgan Freeman and Bruce Willis. Long time ago, Unbreakable.
Action adventure film.
Yeah, yes, yes. So that movie, and then a few years ago, a movie called Split came out, and now Glass puts them all together. So it's the Unbroken universe. It's a mystery universe, like you would take an X-Men movie and then stack them together, or you would take a Marvel movie and stack them together, where all the characters come together.
Is it an Unbreakable Glass?
Great question.
See,
great
we will find great out. We so will
that,
find
and
out.
The glass ceiling.
Pony, is that correct?
So it comes full circle,
yes,
of the politics.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, he's like a superhero kind of in the sense that he's totally, you can't hurt him. And then his arch nemesis is this guy that is like fragile and
Mike, frail. His arch nemesis is actually Arch Campbell. That's how he got his name.
You're going down. All right. All right, well, Movie Monday. Welcome to Movie Monday. I hope you enjoyed it, everybody. Those are the movies that we like. And
I'm locking you in the vault.
You're going to lose oxygen. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get to know our friend at KCJJ, Jim Hunter. Jim is the morning news guy and wacky sidekick on the Captain Steve Platter Patrol morning show.
We have to do new ones. We really do. We really have to. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. That's just the way. You have to kick my ass to do that.
All right.
That's your job, to kick me in the ass and get me in there to do it.
Well, after the show, if you present, I will kick.
Thank you. This segment of the program brought to you by the TMOS Shopping Center. I know it's still January, but February is right around the corner, and you know what that means.
What?
Chinese New Year!
Yeah!
This year, Chinese New Year falls on February 5th, and you know it's going to be a party. You're going to need to stock up on red things, lanterns, noisemakers, and dragon accoutrement. Luckily, we got you covered. Just clickety-clack, click. And take a digital trip to the TMOS Shopping Center. It has everything, featuring Macy's.com, Target.com, and Walmart.com. By the way, this morning, clickety-click at Walmart.com to get my printer paper, which was an amazing deal. They'll haul the heavy stuff right to my door from Walmart.com. Thank ye. When you're shopping through our portal, you're supporting the Mike O'Mara Show, and that makes everybody happy. Just make sure you access Macy's, Target, and Walmart through their banners on our website. Costs you nothing, but means the world to us. Macy's, Target, Walmart, and TMOS. Buy yourself something nice. Make 2019 a super terrific happy new year for everyone. Thank you so very much. You super kept terrific. It together. I know what you were trying to do.
That's fine.
Yeah, with your like,
well, there's words.
Kitty cat.
Yeah, news.
News.
Right. Kitty cat. Kitty cat now. Kitty cat. Kitty cat. Kitty cat.
Yesterday was the 19th anniversary of the New England Patriots hiring Bill Belichick.
Yeah!
They hired him away from the New York Jets. And back then, some NFL experts claimed the Patriots would, quote, regret the move. This guy, they dug up this piece by this syndicated columnist, good Irishman, Ian O'Connor. A genius.
Can you read it like you're on the Stan and Haney show?
Ian O'Connor, especially famous, he argued... Owner Bob Kraft's wildest gamble has nothing to do with ends and safeties and everything to do with the middle-aged mess he hired to coach them. Oh, Ian. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. Whether you like him or not, Belichick is objectively the best NFL coach of all time. I'm not sure the legacy of somebody said whether you like him or not, whether you think he's a good guy or not, whether, you know, a lot of qualifiers around that incredible success of Bill Belichick. So, I mean, when he goes to the happy hunting ground someday, yeah, okay, great success, but, you know, you could have been less of a dick.
And also accusations of cheating that don't seem to go away. That's an asterisk right there.
Immediately after taking over the Patriots, he drafted a guy named Tom Brady in the sixth round. I didn't realize that. I forgot Tom Brady was a sixth round draft pick. Mm-hmm. That's stunning. Together, they've been to 9 Super Bowls in 19 years. 9 in 19 years. Winning 5. And they could make it 6 this weekend. Belichick has 30 wins in the playoffs, 10 more than any other coach in history. And the Patriots haven't had a losing season since 2000. And that's why their fans are so
and
nice.
And that's why they're hated.
But the sad thing, there's a sad part to the
story. They're all entitled.
Yeah.
They're just like when the Yankees won and won and won. The fans become arrogant. They can't help themselves because you get a lot of kids that grow up and
they've
root
never
for the
known
Patriots.
Loss.
Exactly.
They've never known loss.
No.
And that's why right now, New England sports fans who have had world championship after world championship, you got to guard against it. That's why I love the long-suffering fans. Capitals fans in the Stanley Cup, we were there. And by the way, that might be over, but not if they go another 10 years without winning. I like that. That's what makes sports interesting.
And you're also missing the sad part of this story is that when they hired Belichick, he had to give up his modeling career.
Yes, thank you. Belichick, 30 wins in the playoffs. Bill's first year was a losing season, and that was the year that Brady was the backup quarterback. So Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, a much made in heaven. There you go.
Congratulations. Right. Sure. Much more success in the future. Sweatshirt.
I'd say go Rams, but... On Friday's Tonight Show, Matt LeBlanc revealed the two things he stole from the set of Friends, and they were both from Joey and Chandler's apartment. The first is the ball from the foosball table. He says, quote, I have it in my toolbox somewhere. Why it's in my toolbox, I don't know. That's very, very Joey.
Yeah.
The second was the Magna Doodle from the apartment door. That's where they like leave messages, mm-hmm. right? But he didn't take it for himself. He snagged it for a crew member named Paul. He was an electrician, but he was also the one who drew the stuff you saw on the Magna Doodle every week. Matt also joked that he took, quote, a poop ton of cash from the show. That's funny.
That's true.
Like that story. That's cool. According to new studies out of Switzerland, you'd love it if someone rocked you to sleep like your parents did when you were a baby. This makes sense to me.
Hmm.
The researchers found that adults slept better when they were in a bed that had a motor gently rocking it back and forth. And those people had deeper sleep than people in regular beds. Get ready for this to develop.
My God.
I really could see this happening. Why? Researchers say that when we rock, our brains catch on to the rhythm, and it helps us prepare for a deeper sleep.
Anybody
I want to rock. Rock with you. Oh, have you heard about, we might have more on the show. Have you heard about that? I heard it over the weekend, not sure where, about the Michael Jackson documentary.
Oh, the new movie.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You're going to be hearing more about that. Crazy,
Hammocks are the first rockers, right? The natural, like, rocking.
Yeah. I have an issue with
hammocks,
though.
Elvis was the first rocker.
Oh, God. Jesus
Christ. I have a problem when I'm in a hammock. I actually, if it goes too far, you know, I don't like it. I don't like
the
motion.
Why don't you like hammocks?
I don't like hammocks.
Well,
hammocks make me dizzy a little bit.
And also, hammocks are not easy to get in and out of, at least for me.
That's true. That's true. But
ingress
I don't like
ingress
them.
Of a hammock is tough.
Yeah, and that's when Rob just does this and face plants into the grass.
A lot of times the hammock will end up touching ground when I get in.
That's really defeating the whole purpose.
So I can just lay on the ground.
No, right.
I'm going to eliminate the middleman and not sleep in a hammock.
Yeah, that's when Rob's family says, we're not going to put it between two telephone poles, Dad. A guy in Arizona saved a woman's life earlier this month thanks to the CPR lesson he learned by watching The Office.
Hey!
There's a scene where a CPR instructor says you should perform chest compressions to the beat of Staying Alive. And this guy remembered that episode and used it to save the woman's life. That's the same episode where Dwight, like, takes his butcher knife off of his leg and he cuts the chest open to harvest the heart. That's just that. Those moments on that show where I remember that one, and then he cuts the face off, and he's got like the Hannibal Lecter face. It's funny. And now a little something, something. There's a 56-year-old guy named Peter Hans in Pinellas Park, Florida.
Now, where is Pinellas Park, Florida?
It would be between St. Petersburg and Clearwater.
I can almost picture it, yeah.
Just outside of Tampa. And on Thursday morning, he stole some pills out of his roommate's lockbox. Lockbox. Peter thought they were painkillers since they were in a prescription bottle with a label that said hydrocodone acetaminophen.
Yeah.
But it turns out they weren't opioids. They were laxatives.
Oh.
And yes, Peter found out the nasty way, because when his roommate called the cops about the theft, Peter admitted to the cops he took the pills and says he threw the rest away when he realized they were something else because he...
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been charged with theft, and right now he's in deep...
Oh, no.
Thank you. And, sometimes you just can't
clean it up. It's very clear.
That's what that guy said. We'll take a break and come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Monday edition of Movie Monday on the Mike O'Mara Show. Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo. Fantastic.
Exciting.
New.
Does twice the work in half the time. It's Ponyboy 3000. If you have TMOS trouble, he'll fix it before you can say sugar glider. He solves every problem, retrieves any password, defrags any disk.
Now we got to modify. We gotta modify that one too. Yeah,
damn.
That's gotta be. We have work to do.
Okay, we can do.
We
work.
Have work to do. Yeah, that's not the new theme. The new theme is that we're going to improve him.
Yes,
because he didn't solve every problem.
We should work on that.
He caused a few of them.
Yes, but the basis of that promo is if you have a scenario that requires attention,
but you remember, I bring your attention to the show where we had the 20-30. Well, he said 200, and then there were only 30.
Right,
remember that. So that's kind of contradictory to that.
Yeah. No, he will answer you, though. No, it's not. It's not.
Well, would you agree that we have to just refresh that one?
I agree.
Okay.
Yes.
No.
But we could argue all day about, you know, the significance of that promo. I don't know. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Saturday was Australia Day.
Yes, it was.
By the way, Australia, the hottest summer that they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
Well, we're having a kind of a scary winter in the United States.
It's interesting when Australians say it's hot because it can't be that hot. Then you look, you're like, it's 114 degrees.
Yeah.
Jesus. Scary. We so sincerely hope you had a nice one with family and friends, traditional Aussie food, and of course the annual Paul Hogan seance. Wonderful. As you undoubtedly know, Australia Day marks the anniversary of the 1788 arrival of the first fleet of British ships at Port Jackson, New South Wales, and the raising of the flag of Great Britain at Sydney Cove by Governor Arthur Phillip.
Everyone knows this.
That's fascinating, but all I know is this. It's January, bitches. And if you don't have your TMOS bonus subscription, you're 7 times the son of a whore.
7 times.
I might have to assault you with a boomerang, you knob gobbler. So, what's stopping you?
No, I'm sorry, that's the South African.
So, what's stopping you?
Better.
Mademoiselle Fart Breath? Isn't it time you sign up for the TMOS bonus show? Remember, the future of our show depends on it, eh?
Oi!
Besides, you don't know what you're missing. It's the most fun we have each week. Go to MikeOMaraShow.com and click the bonus banner. Go to the website and check that out. It's the most fun we have each week, and it still has the yummy flavor that screams deep-fried roux. Kangaroo. Buy it or you'll choke on your blooming onion. Thank you very much. And now let's open up the Audio Vault with Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
I'm glad people are finally paying attention to this pressing issue. People that go to school to either drop off and pick up their children, and they're not dressed appropriately. in
like
Tennessee.
You know, jammies or something like that?
A Tennessee state representative is proposing a dress code for parents.
Oh, yeah. So I've heard some horror stories in consulting with some of our school leaders. One is there was a school leader that mentioned a parent came to the school, well, actually came to the office in her sleepwear, but it was sexy sleepwear. And you know, there were some body parts exposed. And you think about it, you know, you have a line of second graders that's holding on to each other's shirts coming down the hall. And they can possibly see this, and it may not be conducive to a good educational environment.
That's right. So put that sexy sleepwear away.
Yes, I'm with that. I mean, you know, I think in general, we've talked about this on the show, that jammies seem to be, I saw it this weekend out at a store, a woman wearing like, she had teddy bears on pants.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know, God, I mean, it's one thing to go. Everybody goes out and throws a hat on, wears a T-shirt,
make an effort,
and stuff
though.
Like that. But, you know, when you're wearing the jammies, the athletic, real jammies.
There's enough athletic wear where you can just throw on it's comfortable.
Active wear, Oscar. Yeah. Mrs. O'Mara lives in it. It's just called active wear.
Go ahead and move on with no need to go out in your pajamas.
Active wear.
Active wear.
I have a collection.
Carla. Active wear.
I have a collection of inactive wear. Let's say hi to Tara Armstrong.
None of the material you wear is wicking. That is true.
That's true. That's true.
You don't have wicking. You're a cotton man all the way, right?
John Non-Wick is me. Tara Armstrong stopped the show. I believe this was Friday on The Price is Right. You'd be shocked how this has happened before, but it's been a while. Tara Armstrong was called to come on down, but she couldn't come on down. Here's what happened. Tara Armstrong, come on down.
You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. Tara Armstrong, come on down! Is she... She's in the bathroom.
Oh my God.
Mortifying.
Nice to see you.
Who does number two work for, Tara?
Thought you'd never get here, so glad you could make it.
Nice to meet you, sorry.
So I had never seen that happen before, but a little search on YouTube brought me to a moment from The Price is Right in the year 2000.
Our next player is Daniel Jimenez. Come on down. Your next contestant on The Price is Right. Come on, Daniel. Daniel Jimenez, come on.
Come on.
Where are you?
Roddy.
Daniel. Daniel Jimenez. He is in the men's room.
Oh, no. All right. Stop it right there. A tale of two hosts.
Exactly.
Right?
And that's
even
the reason
that
I played
simple
it.
Simple thing where Drew Carey does it. Hey, yeah. All right. Thank you. Thanks like that. Nothing, right? Nothing.
No.
He does nothing.
As a
with
matter
it.
Of fact, if you were to go back and listen, he doesn't even get involved. He makes the stupid announcer handle the situation.
Right.
Bob grabs the reins and turns it into something.
Turns it into something.
And
absolutely.
Wait, it gets better with Bob.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it could be worse. He could be in the women's room.
See?
So there you
God
go.
God bless you, Bob Barker.
The best. Oh, the very, very God. Best. Oh, and
absolutely.
A great treat for anyone who was in Las Vegas this weekend and went to Lady Gaga's show, because
really?
Who did she bring out on stage but Bradley Cooper?
Hello, Vegas.
This is so cool, Mike.
Yeah.
Tell me something.
Well, that's worth the ticket price right there. Right?
Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill
Where's her? Is she doing a residency or are these?
Yes,
just,
yes.
Where
Vegas,
is it?
In Vegas.
Do you know what hotel?
Oh God, I'd be making it up. I don't know for sure.
But remember, she did the surprise walk on for Tony Bennett. I think she likes to do stuff like that.
Yep,
you know, to
absolutely.
Surprise the but
showbiz.
God, it's great. It's
by the way, Bohemian
Rhapsody,
there's a lot of part of that movie that shows how into interaction with the audience Queen was and how they were about that, the live performing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think all entertainment, if you love to interact with a live audience, sorry, but I do consider ourselves part of that gig.
Yeah.
If you love to interact with a live audience, I think that means you're into it. You should be doing what you're doing.
I agree, and I hope that the Oscars recognize this movie, because I listened to the soundtrack again this weekend.
Pretty good.
And I don't know how the CD is set up, but the album, the LP, has intercut with dialogue from the movie.
Yeah.
And all the music. So if you listen through all four sides, it actually tells the story of the movie. It's great.
It's at Park Theater MGM. Park MGM. That's what they say.
Is that a new MGM?
Park MGM. I'm imagining it's at the MGM.
Yeah, I would think so.
That's all that would make sense. So at the Park Theater at MGM.
All these things are usually Caesar's, right? They're usually at Caesar's Palace. All right.
What I'll, a get, though. What a get, yeah. Right?
That's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Mike! I was going on vacation. I had some trouble. My name is country singer Luke Bryan, and I put a video on Instagram. We were pulling out of the hotel, and my rotor forgot to close the hatch on the car.
We're in Mexico, heading to Hawaii, and Doc pulls out of the resort. The hatch opens. All our bags fell in the highway. How you doing, Doc?
I'm good. We had two bags. That's your bag. It's all of it, right?
All right.
Yeah, there's
one. Close
that.
We have fun.
He's a great storyteller.
He's a wonderful storyteller. And imagine pulling out onto the Mexican highway with your hatch open. Good heavens.
The hatch. Yes, that's very good. Thank you.
You didn't close the hatch.
Yeah, thank you.
Mike, I know you normally do Florida stories, but I feel I should mention this one because it has a phrase that I'd never heard before. Are you familiar with magnet fishing?
No.
In Ocala, Florida. I can't tell you where it is.
Because Ocala is north of Tampa, middle part of the state, also north of Orlando.
Way to do it on your feet. Excellent.
Thank
you,
Ocala, one of the most beautiful horse countries in the United States, Ocala, Florida.
So magnet fishing by tying a magnet to a string and putting it into a body of water and seeing what metal things you get.
Oh, gross.
So
gross.
A guy went metal fishing in Ocala and pulled up a World War II hand grenade.
Oh my God.
It had not been detonated yet.
Right.
So he did what anyone would do. He threw it in his trunk and went to Taco Bell.
Well, check out what a Florida man brought to his local Taco Bell before calling 911. You're looking at an authentic World War II hand grenade. The man told police officers he found the grenade while magnet fishing. After making the discovery, he put the grenade into his trunk and drove to Taco Bell. The bomb squad was eventually called out and safely disposed of the explosive.
Now, nobody was hurt.
Who's that anchor?
nobody was hurt.
What 400th market is she from? Good Lord.
I'd like to close with what they used to do on Dateline NBC, a dramatic recreation of what could have happened. This is not what happened, but this is what could have happened.
Hi, welcome to Taco Bell. What can I get for you?
Hi, can I get...
And that is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
I'm turning the music down. Do that
one more time. All right.
Taco Bell. What can I get for you?
Hi. Can I get
another one in the can? Thanks for joining us for another riveting episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Please.
Taco Bell. What can I get for you?
Hi. Can I get?
Mike, I'm getting it in my headphones now. Everyone's okay. Everyone's fine.
That's a great surprise for Monday. If you have a message you'd like to hear at our Tuesday mailbag, we're doing it tomorrow.
Send
it to Rob with two Bs at MikeOMaraShow.com. And remember, the TMOS bonus show makes a great gift even for yourself. I'm sorry, I got to go for
Taco Bell. What can I get for you?
Hi, can I get...
The scream and the ding. Easiest pie. Go to MikeOMaraShow.com and get the gift bonus. It's great. For Oscar Santana and Rob Sewak, this is Mike O'Mara thanking you for your continued amazing support for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Hi, welcome to Taco Bell. What can I get for you?
Hi, can I get...
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Okay. Come on.
Look what I have created! I have made fire! I have made fire!
That's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Goodbye, Zooties.